All right, thanks. So yeah, the title might not be obvious of what this talk is about, but hopefully by the end it will be. So I'm from the IBM T.J. Watson Research Center. All right, so the topic of the paper is dealing with the sensor networks. So just to get everyone on the same page, so these are collections of spatially distributed nodes that take measurements and communicate. And we're interested in them for detection or classification tasks. So, for example, an environmental monitoring or surveillance. So, I think one question all of us are interested in this week is whether the Iceland volcano has stopped erupting or not. The measurements that are of various types, whatever, temperature, sound, pressure, vibration, etc. And these measurements exhibit spatial correlation, and the sensor nodes are usually resource constrained. All right, so in detection or classification, so they're basically the same problem, but I want to point out the differences. So in the detection problem, we're going to use measurements to make decisions about binary hypotheses, and in this case, the likelihood functions of the measurements and the prior probabilities are known, and the likelihood ratio test is Bayes' optimal in this case. For the problem when you have sensor networks, the distributed detection problem has been studied quite widely. With the classification problem, specifically the supervised classification problem, again, we want to use measurements to make decisions about binary hypotheses. In this case, the likelihood functions of the measurements and the prior probabilities are unknown. What we are given is a label training set, so measurement vectors with their true hypotheses, and machine learning algorithms are applied. So SVMs are an example. Linear discriminant analysis, which is what I'll talk about in more detail, is a very classical technique. The difference kind of between detection and supervised classification is this idea of overfitting. So you don't want to fit your training vectors, your given label training set too much. And this distributed supervised classification doesn't have as much previous work as the distributed detection problem. So practically, oftentimes we don't have knowledge of the prior of the probability density a priori. And it's much easier to imagine a situation in which training samples can be acquired, so that's why we're considering the classification problem. So this is just kind of a high-level thing, and specifically what I'm going to talk about, we're not going to really consider too much about network constraints or communication or et cetera. Just more or less what you can learn from data from sensors. So the outline of the talk is that. First, I'll say a few words about the supervised classification problem and some words about modern statistical learning theory. I'll go through linear discriminant analysis and especially focus on some approximations to the generalization error that have been developed. Then go over a Gauss-Markov random field sensor model that we're applying, derive the Mihalanobis distance for that sensor model, and use that to drive a generalization error expression for sensor networks. I'll provide a geometric probability approximation to the Mihalanobis distance in order to simplify some things and then give some simulation results at the end. All right, just going over the notation a bit. So we have a true hypothesis or class label Y, which is either plus one or minus one. So the Iceland volcano is either erupting or not. We have a noisy measurement vector X, which is in RP. And then we have a joint probability density function F of XY. So the X's are the measurements and the Y is the label. We want to learn a decision rule Y hat, which is a mapping from the space of measurements to plus one and minus one, where we learn this decision rule using training samples, X1, Y1 through XN, YN. But we don't apply it to the training samples themselves, but to unseen samples X from the same distribution F of XY. The thing we're interested in characterizing is the generalization error, the probability that the decision rule will be wrong on new unseen samples from the same distribution. The training error is we can measure empirically based on the training set, which is how many are wrong on the training set itself. This idea of overfitting and the structural risk minimization principle is that as the complexity of the decision rule increases, the training error we can take to zero, but that overfits. So the generalization error, the thing we want to minimize, is optimized for some intermediate complexity level. And in general, with statistical learning theory analysis, at least in its modern form, the characterizations of generalization error are very loose usually. So I just want to read this quick quote, which gives this idea. So one should not be concerned about the quantitative value of the bound or even about its fundamental form, but rather about the terms that appear in the bound. And in that respect, a useful bound is one which allows us to understand which quantities are involved in the learning process. And as a result, performance bounds should be used for what they are good for. They should not be used to actually predict the value of the expected error, etc. So what if we actually are interested in developing some approximations or bounds for generalization error that we can use as an optimization criteria? So we can't use modern statistical learning theory results, some things like VC dimension, Rademacher complexity, etc. And we want to do this for sensor network design optimization. So we want to have some sort of expression that we can optimize for generalization error. So we turn to the former Soviet Union literature. So they have developed very high quality approximations to generalization error, of specifically of linear discriminant analysis and some of its variations. So this work was motivated by Kolmogorov, and the main contributor was Sharounis Raudis. And these expressions that were developed in this literature can be used as optimization criteria, and as we'll see in some of the simulation results later, they're very, very close, very tight approximations. So specifically, linear discriminant analysis is this decision rule, as I have on the screen. So y hat of x, this decision rule, is based on basically if you had a Gaussian distribution for the two classes with different means and the same or different covariances as well, what you would do to get the Bayes optimal rule. But in this case, these are sample means and sample covariances. When the true likelihood functions are Gaussian and the true prior probabilities are equal, but we don't know this when we're learning y hat from the n-training samples, then the generalization error approximation given by Raudis et al. Is this. So the generalization error is approximately, so this phi function is the CDF of the Gaussian distribution, and then we have these terms involving delta, which is the Mahalanobis distance, which I'll get to in a second. P is the dimensionality, and in our case, it'll be the number of sensors. N is the number of training samples. So this is it's not simple, but it is very easy to evaluate expression, and we'll see how close it is. So this delta squared is the Mahalanobis distance. So basically, mu plus and mu minus are the means of the two classes. J minus and J plus are the inverse covariance matrices. So that's is one of the terms in this expression. And we want to use the generalization error approximation to analyze sensor networks with the spatial correlation. And as I said before, we're not going to be concerned in this talk about network communication or power issues. So within the sensor network setup specifically, we have P sensors, each measuring scalar valued measurements X1 through XP. So as a combined measurement vector, we have this big X, which is an RP. The sensors are deployed randomly on the plane according to some distribution F sub V of V. So this F sub V of V is supported on a square with area P. So the region grows as more sensors are placed. The generating likelihood functions are Gaussian, as I said before, with mu minus and mu plus as the means and sigma minus and sigma plus as the covariances. We modeled the covariance structure, so the spatial correlation between sensor measurements using a Gauss-Markov random field model, and I'll get to that in a second. For simplicity, we'll let mu minus be zero, the zero vector, and mu plus be the all ones vector. And we'll let the two covariances be equal, so call them sigma, and then the inverse covariance matrices to be J. So the actual Gauss-Markov random field that we have is with nearest neighbor dependency. So we construct a Euclidean undirected nearest neighbor graph between the sensors. So there's an edge between sensor I and sensor J if I is the nearest neighbor of J or if J is the nearest neighbor of I. And we denote the edge set of this graph as E. So then we use this graph to define a Markov random field covariance. So that's done in three parts. The diagonal elements of sigma are all equal to little sigma squared. The elements of sigma corresponding to edges in the nearest neighbor graph are basically this little sigma squared times g of d, which is the distance between sensor I and sensor j. So this g is a monotonically decreasing function to encode correlation decay. So the farther two sensors are, the less correlated they are. So this is known as a semivariogram in geostatistics. And then the off-diagonal elements of J corresponding to non-edges in the nearest neighbor graph are all zero. And this is a model that has been used, for example, by Anand Kumar Tong and Swami in some of their work as well. So now we want to get this delta squared, this Mahalanobis distance. So when we have these simplifying assumptions of mu minus being zero, mu plus being one, and the two inverse covariance matrices being equal, then it turns out that the Mahalanobis distance delta squared is just the sum of the this inverse covariance matrix entries. And if we substitute the expressions for the covariance matrices and do a bit of algebra, then we find that this Mahalanobis distance delta squared is equal to p over sigma squared. So p again was the number of sensors, minus 2 over sigma squared times the sum over the edge set, and we have the summing of g over 1 plus g, where the arguments to g again are the distances between the sensors. So this is an exact, so we have this delta squared expression. We can plug that into the previous expression I had up here for generalization error. So that gives us an exact, not an exact, but an approximation with everything defined for the generalization error. But if we notice in this expression for delta squared, it depends on the actual realization of the locations of the sensors, so Vi and Vj. So we want to kind of do something to integrate that out or to kind of understand what's happening in gen when we have without specifically having an instantiation of the sensors. So as I said, it depends on the particular realization of the random deployment of sensor locations. So we want to characterize some sort of average behavior of delta across the realizations V1 through Vp. So it turns out that the average behavior functionals of the nearest neighbor graph can be described using average behavior of homogeneous Poisson point processes in work developed by Penrose and Yukich. So as p goes to infinity, the number of sensors as that goes to infinity, a functional defined on the edge set based on the nearest neighbor graph with distances converges to this other expression with homogeneous Poisson point processes. So for us, that phi function on the left-hand side is g over 1 plus g. And so if we let the right-hand side of the limit be zeta over 2, then the delta squared expression simplifies to p over sigma squared times 1 minus zeta. And this the zeta can be approximated using Monte Carlo simulation very easily because Poisson point processes are easy to generate and et cetera. All right, so now we have this other new expression for delta squared, which we can again plug into the generalization error expression and get a certain value out. So basically, if we substitute in that Mahalanobis distance approximation into the generalization error approximation, we get this expression up here. And so then the question might arise, what's the optimal number of sensors for a given number of training samples, let's say. So we can find p that minimizes this error approximation. So if we differentiate this with respect to p and set it equal to 0, we find that the optimal p is n over 2, and it doesn't actually depend on sigma squared and zeta. So that what it tells us that it's not always beneficial to throw down more sensors with a fixed number of training samples. And the reason for that is that the phenomenon of overfitting happens. And the minimum generalization error when we set p equal to n over 2 is the other expression on the slide. So that minimum generalization error, that expression is monotonically increasing in sigma squared, which is expected. You'd have more error as there's more noise. It's monotonically decreasing in n as well, which is expected. So as the number of training samples increases, the error decreases. And the interesting thing to note is that it's monotonically increasing in zeta. So what that tells us, then zeta only depends on the placement distribution of the sensors. So we should choose this F sub V of V in order to minimize zeta. So we have that choice when deploying a sensor system. Should all the sensors be clustered in the middle of the square? Should they be at the edges? Should they be uniformly placed or any question like that? So let me show you some simulations. So the overall message that the simulations present is that these are really good approximations that can be used for system optimization, and you'll see that. The semivariogram, this g function that we use, is a half e to the minus distance over 2. The sensor location distribution that we consider is, again, supported over the square with area p is an appropriately scaled and shifted beta distribution that's IID in both of its spatial dimensions. And both parameters of the beta distribution are taken to be equal. So if beta equals 1, that's a uniform distribution over the square. If beta is greater than 1, then the sensors are concentrated in the middle of the square. And if beta is less than 1, then the sensors will be concentrated at the edges of the square. So we do this for different values of p, the number of sensors, 20 realizations of the sensor location placements, 10 realizations of the training set per realization of the sensor locations for different values of the number of training samples, and we have 100,000 test samples per training set. All right, so this is the Mahalanobis distance approximation as a function of the number of sensors. So there's two lines here, but you can't see them because the approximation is so good. There's a blue line and a black line. So the black line is the approximation, and that, as I actually didn't point out, but here we see delta squared is a linear function of p. So again, so we see that the approximation is a linear function of p, and the empirical Mahalanobis distance is indistinguishable, essentially. So the approximation is that good. So this is from the geometric probability, the Poisson point process approximation. Then we plug that approximation into the other approximation, which was the Raudis et al. Approximation for generalization error of linear discriminant analysis. So here, the red line is the empirical test error, actually, and the black line is the approximation. So this is for n equals 100, so the number of training samples is 100. So we see, first of all, that the error is minimized when p is approximately 50, which is what we wanted, which we saw that it's n over 2. And the approximation is extremely good here as well. The red line and the black line are almost the same. This is the same plot for n equals 200. So again, the minimum is at p equals 100, as we would expect. And the approximation is quite good. Here's the case for n equals 1,000. So this is 1,000 training samples. If we wanted to empirically get these very tiny error values, like 10 to the minus 10 error probabilities, we would have to run our simulations for a long, long time. So this is a case where it's helpful to actually have the approximation in order to understand the performance in these low error regimes as well. And so we actually don't need to do any empirical things. We can just use that black line in general for optimizing any sensor system that we have. The other question was this zeta, which depends on the beta, which was the distribution of the sensors. So beta equals 1, again, was a uniform placement. Beta less than 1 was clustered at the edges, and beta greater than 1 was in the middle. So here, this zeta is a function of beta. We see that 1, where we have this uniform distribution, is best, and that's also what minimizes the generalization error. So in this case, we want the sensors to be placed uniformly when we have this nearest neighbor dependency. So in conclusion, so time is always a limited resource, so training sets are always finite. It's all optimal to use precisely half the number of sensors as training samples in this sensor network with local Gauss-Markov dependency. And the fact that there's a finite rather than infinite number of sensors that's optimal follows from the phenomenon of overfitting. We derived a generalization error approximation that involves Mahalanobis distance, and we gave an exact statement of that Mahalanobis distance for our Gauss-Markov sensor measurements. And we approximated it using a geometric probability expression, and we saw that the combined approximations, both the geometric probability one and the generalization error one, together closely match the empirical results, and we saw that uniform sensor placement is good in this case. So I'll be happy to take some questions. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
you're using the Mahalanobis distance metric there, and then what I see is the metric itself is the exponent of the Gaussian multivariate Gaussian distribution. So does it mean? Are you assuming that the data is always multivariate normal, and if not, what is its effect on the generalization error?
Right. So as I mentioned before, so this approximation, this generalization error approximation, is true when the actual generating data, the distributions generating the data are actually Gaussian and they have equal prior probabilities. So that's what we used in following up. But if the true likelihood functions were not Gaussian, then there would be a different expression for the generalization error. And usually that's very hard to come up with something that matches the empirical test error very well. So the Soviet Union literature that I mentioned, there are a few variations on this, but usually the assumption is that the actual generating data is Gaussian. Otherwise, it's very hard to come up with expressions. And people have been trying to find these expressions for 30, 40 years, and it's very hard to find these expressions.
And you're also making an assumption of equicovariance there.
Yeah, we don't have to do that. That's just for simplifying notation. I think either this paper or an extended version has where the two covariances are different.
Thank you, sir.
Yep. Okay, let's back this.